It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the House passed the latest bill aimed at dismantling the Affordable Care Act this afternoon. We'll talk to a congressional reporter about the news and what comes next. The House of Representatives voted 217 to 213 this afternoon to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. Congressional Republicans have long led the charge to dismantle the signature legislation of the Obama administration. Today, they're one step closer to making this a reality. The bill now heads to the Senate, where it faces an uncertain future.
But while some lawmakers are praising the move to repeal the ACA, some medical organizations and advocacy groups are raising concerns about people with pre-existing conditions.
Kelsey Snell joins us now with the details. She's a reporter for The Washington Post, where she covers Congress. Kelsey, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, this thing's been stop and go for a while. What were the key elements of the deal that got Freedom Caucus members, more conservative members, and the more moderate Republicans both to give enough votes to get this through the House?
Well, the thing that kind of brought everyone together was a decision earlier this week to include an extra $8 billion to help fund states with high-risk pools. This came after there was a waiver put in that would allow some states to say that they didn't want to have some of the protections that were included in the Affordable Care Act, like those for pre-existing conditions. If a state applied and got a waiver, then they were kind of in a situation where they didn't have a lot of protections for if somebody got catastrophically sick. So the idea is that this $8 billion was supposed to make people feel more comfortable because it would help offset those costs. In reality, as I've talked to members, I think they felt as much like these new changes helped as they did, as they felt that they just needed to pass something because they've been promising for 7 years that they would be repealing this. And I think there was a little bit of fatigue setting in and a whole lot of pressure from the White House.
Well, this, as you say, has been a goal for a long time now. House Speaker Paul Ryan of Janesville, he's been a big part of this story, of course. Here he is speaking on the House floor today.
What protection is Obamacare if there is no health care plan to purchase in your state? This is the direction Obamacare is rapidly heading. So we can continue with this status quo, or we can put this collapsing law behind us. End this failed experiment. Let's make it easier for people to afford their health insurance. Let's give people more choices and more control over their care. Let's make insurance companies come in and compete for your business. Let's return power from Washington to the states.
So his delegation or his caucus in Congress and the House did ultimately agree with them, it looks like, and voted in favor of this. He made a lot of commitments there. What are people saying about whether it'll meet that goal, making health care more affordable, giving people more choices, and so on?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, medical groups like the AMA and I believe the American Cancer Society, there's a large number of groups that came out in the past several days saying that this would not, in fact, do better to protect people, and that they push instead to make changes and fixes to the law that is in place, because there are, I believe the number now is close to 25 million people who now have care who didn't have it before. And so these medical groups say the best way to get them that care is to fix it. Republicans in Congress say that fixing it isn't an option. And so we're kind of in this impossible situation where neither side is willing to bend. So we are in a place where the Senate will take the House bill, the bill that barely passed the House today, and they will essentially say, that was very nice of you to pass something. Thank you for doing that. And now we're going to start over and do our own version that looks maybe a little bit like what you've already done.
Right. I want to emphasize that point. We're hearing from Republicans in the Senate, not we'll take this House bill and amend it. They're looking to build something new from the ground up. Is that right?
I don't know if they've decided exactly what they're going to do, because I have to say, many of the people, even those people who work closely on healthcare issues in the Senate, many of them felt like they weren't going to engage too much in the House legislation because they weren't entirely certain that the House could pass it. Now that it's passed, they're willing to kind of engage in the conversation, but they didn't want to kind of get themselves in the quagmire that House Speaker Ryan finds himself in, where they have to decide one way or another what they're going to do with a health care bill that really is very unpopular. So the Senate, I think, is probably going to keep some parts of what the House did, but it's entirely possible that they scrap a large portion of it and kind of forge their own path. It's important for people to remember that the Senate and the House are very, very different places. The Senate was created to slow the process down and make it deliberative. That's why you have people who are elected for 6 years instead of two. So they tend to have a longer view on things, and their politics tend to be a little bit more down the middle because they represent whole states instead of tightly drawn congressional districts.
And Republican Lindsey Graham in the Senate said on Twitter today, quoting here, a bill finalized yesterday has not been scored, meaning the Congressional Budget Office. Amendments not allowed in 3 hours final debate should be viewed with caution. That's not a full-throated endorsement by any means.
Right. It's not an endorsement, but it's also not a full rejection. Mm-hmm. He's saying here that he wants to take a look and he wants to slow things down. And I have been talking with people at all levels of Senate Republican staff. Their whole feeling right now is we need to slow it down. We're not going to get around to a vote on this for weeks, if not more than a month. And they want to take their time and do it their own way. We don't know exactly what that will mean, and it will certainly mean something more conservative than what, you know, the Affordable Care Act looks like right now. But it's also important to know whatever passes in the Senate has to go back to the House and has to be reapproved in the House. And there's no guarantee that the House is going to be willing to take whatever the Senate writes. This is by no means the end of the story.
We're talking to Kelsey Snell, congressional reporter for The Washington Post. We're talking about the House passage of a repeal and replace health care bill for the Affordable Care Act. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. What do you think about today's vote? What do you hope comes next? What do you fear about what might come next? 800-642-1234. Coming up in just a few, we'll talk about some of the political pieces of fallout from this vote.
We're continuing our conversation about the Republican health care bill that passed by a narrow margin in the House today.
Kelsey Snell is with us, congressional reporter at The Washington Post. Go right to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Cindy joins us in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, we have a governor in Wisconsin that refused the Medicaid expansion money, so why would anybody think that he'd be willing to put money aside for a high-risk pool of people who are going to be kicked off of the regular health care? I don't understand that.
Cindy, thanks for the call. And Kelsey, as I understand it, the idea is if a state waives that pre-existing condition part of the thing, they would be obliged to set up some sort of high-risk pool. Do I have that right?
Yes, but they cannot just decide to not accept pre-existing
right.
conditions. They have to apply for a waiver and then receive the waiver before they can get to that point.
All right. Thanks for the call, Cindy. And another part of this, and I think this still ended up in there, this law, if it stayed as passed by the House, would take away a lot of the conditions, the things that insurers have to cover under the Affordable Care Act. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. The idea is that conservatives really wanted to make sure that there were no real requirements for insurers, because they say that's what makes insurance expensive, is that insurance became very expensive on the individual market because these companies were being asked to provide things that they didn't provide before. It's because the Affordable Care Act got rid of these plans that essentially they said didn't cover enough and that people were paying for something that didn't constitute true coverage. Conservatives want to go back to a time when people could choose to have a very, very low, it would be a very inexpensive plan, but it would also provide very few services.
I want Kelsey to get into some of the politics here. Now, after this vote, you had, as I understand it, Democrats singing to their Republican colleagues, nah, nah, hey, hey, goodbye, as in this vote is going to lose you a lot of your seats. Republicans carting in Bud Light to celebrate, and then a Rose Garden ceremony, which you usually think of with the president and vice president, which is usually for a bill signing, not for a bill passing a one chamber of commerce. This talk about some of the political aftermath here.
This was all a little bit strange, right? It is a little odd to be celebrating something for passing one chamber of Congress. We don't typically see something like this because, in fact, the work has really just begun. We've only gotten through one very small portion of this. It's unclear to me if they're going to be feeling good about that celebration if this drags on for some time, because if people, when they see celebration, they assume that something will be done and that something is complete. And it's not clear that people understand that, you know, this is a process. And if you wanted to see the Affordable Care Act repealed, it won't be done today. This is not a done deal. For Democrats, they also seem to think that this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to them in terms of running for reelection. They seem to think that this will be the thing that wins them back control of the House and the Senate. I think they may be overstating things because it's not entirely certain that this will be the thing that brings people out to vote. If it looks like it's dragging on and on forever, people won't necessarily feel the urgency. It also may be that they underestimated the number of people who really wanted this law repealed. I think both sides are maybe claiming victory a little bit too soon here.
Back to our callers. Doug is on the line in North Bend. Doug, hi.
Good afternoon.
What do you think?
I think that as the commentator just stated that it is early in the process, but that the senators and congressmen need to realize that the normal person who votes for them may not enjoy or appreciate their having Cadillac health care and voting for us to get, call it, bottom of the barrel health care.
Doug, thanks for the call. And Kelsey, that reminds me, this was something that was an issue, and I don't know where this one shook out, the issue of whether or not members of Congress and their staff would be exempted from some of the requirements they're voting on.
Yeah, they said they included a patch to make it so that members of Congress were not exempted, though it's not clear to me how that patch goes forward or how the treatment of congressmen will go forward, because there are specific Senate rules that govern what parts of this bill are even allowed. And many of the things in these most recent amendments are not allowed under Senate rules. They decided to do this repeal and the budget process limit them to only doing things that either deal with taxes or raising and lowering the deficit. They have to make sure that whatever they do doesn't add to the deficit after 10 years. So there's a lot of stuff that the Senate will just have to take out in order to only follow their own rules.
And Kelsey, one big shoe that has not dropped here, this vote came before the Congressional Budget Office scored this plan with its latest amendments. That's still going to happen, right? And people are going to be watching for that eagerly or with fear, I imagine.
Well, yeah, the score is actually a requirement for the Senate process, again, because they decided to do this as part of the budget process. The only way that the Senate can know if, you know, which parts of this bill add or, you know, subtract from the deficit and what it would do over the long term for spending is to wait for that CBO score. The CBO score that will also tell us how many people stand to lose coverage under the Republican plan. And it's expected that a lot of people will be projected to lose coverage under this plan. And that was a fairly damaging part of the process before, though, as we saw, that damage didn't last forever, and they still got a version of their legislation passed.
We'll leave it there. Kelsey, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Kelsey Snell, reporter for The Washington Post, where she covers Congress. She joined us to talk about the Republicans' plan to replace the Affordable Care Act, a House plan passed earlier today.
Coming up after the news, women and girls report higher rates of depression compared with men and boys, according to a new study out of UW-Madison. We'll find out why the rates are higher and at what age girls begin showing symptoms.
And remember, it's our spring membership drive, your chance to help pay for great conversations like this. And remember, there is a dollar-for-dollar match. If you make a contribution right now, boom, it's doubled by anonymous supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio. A great opportunity to support great conversations, to have your support go twice as far. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Still half an hour to take advantage of this amazing dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000. Right now, get your pledge doubled. Feel doubly good at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.